We'll go ahead and call to order the meeting of the Finance and Facilities Subcommittee for March 30th. Cheryl, please call the roll to get us started. Members, make sure you turn on your mic for roll call.
Sherry Yarbrough.
Here.
Representatives Beltran.
Here.
Benjamin.
Here.
Botana.
Here.
Bustada Cabrera.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Chaney.
Yes.
Duran.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Pentrovsky.
Here.
Joseph.
Here.
Mello.
Here.
Mooney.
Here.
Morales.
Present.
Persons Malika.
Here.
Sabatini.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Williamson.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Cheryl. Members, make sure that you silence or turn off your cell phones or put on vibrate, and we would appreciate that. And make sure you speak clearly into your microphone, and we will go ahead and get started. So, members, we have two PCSs on the agenda today. We have a PCS for House Bill 1001, which is Step Therapy by Rep. Wilhite, and we have a PCS for House Bill 1155, Pharmacies and Pharmacy Benefit Managers by Rep. Toledo. Rep. Wilhite is here with us, so we'll go ahead and get started with PCS for House Bill 1001, Step Therapy Protocols. Representative Wilhite, you're recognized to explain the PCS.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I like being the only member here. I get to go first, then, so great opportunity. Members, thank you. The topic of this bill, step therapy, may not mean something to many of you, but if you've been involved and had to go through this process, you absolutely know what step therapy means. I've spoken to a few of you about it. And so what does this bill aim to do? What is the purpose of this bill? When a person tells you no, your first response is why, right? Yes, people want to know. They want to know the rules. They want to know the groundwork. They want to know the process. And so that's what this bill tries to do. Last year, this legislature put in some great language that if you change from one insurance company to another, you didn't have to go through the whole step therapy process again. And so this bill just aims to continue on that good work of last year's legislative action that defines what a step therapy protocol is. It's to be a written protocol that specifies the order in which certain prescription drugs or medical procedures must be used to treat an insured's condition. So think about that. That could be a medication, but more logically, I've spoken to many doctors the last couple of days, and imagine you have to have a total knee replacement, and you have bone on bone, and your insurance company, your doctor prescribes a surgical procedure, an MRI, and your insurance company thinks at that time the most logical thing is maybe for you to have about 6 weeks of therapy to maybe see if that aches and pain can go away. So you go to 6 weeks of therapy, and by the way, the patient's going to pay probably $100 a therapy session for that. But it ultimately doesn't fix the problem. And you end up going back to that surgeon, and you go back and get the MRI, and the ultimate outcome is to have maybe a total knee replacement. And so what we try to talk about is that idea of step therapy and maybe cutting through that. It provides for a written procedure for obtaining an exemption from step therapy protocols, including publication of the exemption procedure on their website. So there again, it answers that question of why. Why am I doing this? Why are you talking about a different kind of therapy or treatment or medication? The procedure must include, but is not limited to, how to request an exemption and provision of a request form with a request form. The method and time frame for request approvals and denials must occur within a reasonable amount of time. I think we all understand and have just an opinion what reasonable is, but we have a reasonable expectation of knowing. The method and time frame for appealing the outcome of a request. You ask why, someone says their answer, you want to know, you know, why they're saying that. Granted request for an exemption must specify the authorized drug, procedure, or treatment. Denied request must be in writing and provide information on how to appeal the outcome. Someone tells you no, you want it in writing because you'd like to know for your edification why they're saying no. But it also makes sure that insurers and HMOs may request relevant medical records to verify why they're saying what they're doing so they can make the best factual decision on their outcome on behalf of them. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Wilhite, having explained the PCS, members, we're now open for questions. Questions on the PCS. Representative Sabatini, you recognize for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Just curious what kind of prompted the bill or what the current status is with these HMOs and what is it they're doing or not doing that prompted the bill to be filed?
You're recognized.
Thank you, through the Chair. Representative, what prompted it is that I want to make sure, and I know this legislature does by the work they did last year, is that patients don't have to suffer or have more irrevocable damage in the meantime of what's going on with their injury. or maybe an illness that they're taking a medication for. And so if you go see your doctor and they prescribe something, the insurance companies or the HMOs maybe don't want you to have that medication. Maybe there's a generic, maybe there's an older medication that's not the newest and the best technology, best tested drug. And so they want you to start at a lower level. And they'll go through a process of maybe it's 2 to 3 months of you taking that medication. I gave an example of the therapy issue. And they'll continue to do that till they ultimately may get to the medication that that doctor prescribed for you initially. And so we're just saying that if your doctor knows and you have a good working relationship with your doctor and they're the expert in the field and think you should take that medication or have that treatment, they're the ones that say you should do it. And if your insurance companies don't agree, they should lay out a groundwork to let them know, let the patient know why they're not getting what their doctor prescribed them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Follow up. Go ahead, Rep. 17.
Just one more question. Do we have specific instances of the transaction occurring, like the type of transaction that occurs, like a failure of this to already happen? Why do we need the mandate? Is it happening already? Are patients able to get their questions answered or be able to engage in step therapy already? I'm just curious what we're trying to fix.
You recognize.
Through the chair. Obviously, it is happening. It is happening to patients every day. And I think there may be some debate on the committee about that even that's happening. I know of a personal case very close to me that it has happened with. And so, I get that HMOs and insurance companies have a business model. They want to make sure that they're the most profitable in their business. But again, when it comes to patient safety, pain and suffering, I want to make sure that we can try and limit the time frame on that and make sure that we're looking out for the people of Florida and those insurees that are paying their insurance, that they're getting what they felt their doctor deserved for them and what is the best outcome for them. If they're paying for the service, they want to know what they're getting for it.
Additional questions, members? Any additional questions? Okay. All right. Okay, seeing none, we have no amendments on the PCS, so we'll move into public testimony, and we have several appearance cards that were submitted. First, we have Christopher Newland with Florida Gastroenterologic Society. Hopefully I said that right, Chris. You're recognized. Testify.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative Wilhite, for this good bill. Step therapies are an effective cost containment tool. We do concede that. But I'm representing doctors here today who generally have a different interest. Our interest is to get patients the therapies and the drugs they need as soon as possible, especially when you have medical conditions that are urgent in nature in which people can't take the time to go through an extended step therapy program. While we support this bill, it is a good bill, we do ask that as the bill moves forward, you consider one change. And that the time limits for the appeal process, for the exemption process, be short and they be explicit, again, so that we ensure that the patients of the state of Florida get the therapies and drugs they need as soon as possible. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Newland. Next, we have Barney Bishop, Small Business Pharmacies Aligned for Reform. Mr. Bishop, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Barney Bishop. I represent SPAR, Small Business Pharmacies Aligned for Reform. So, Representative, to go back to your question, your very good question, sir, this is needed because PBMs abuse the system. They're a perfect business model because they're completely operate in secret. But the most important thing is that when a doctor prescribes a certain medication for that patient should be entitled to get that medication. But unfortunately, PBMs are these huge monstrosities that exist somewhere, who knows where. It's a computer algorithm. And the computer decides, no, Barney doesn't need drug A, he needs drug C. And C is cheaper. Well, guess what? The PBM's going to pick the cheaper drug. They're going to make me go through that. Not only that, they're going to make me buy 3 months of that. That may be $500 a month. It could be $3,000 a month if it's a cancer life-saving drug, it could be $10,000 a month. They're going to make me buy a minimum number of pills. You should only have to buy a few weeks or a month at most, because otherwise, if it's not working, as the doctor said, because he didn't prescribe drug C, he prescribed drug A, then you're just wasting time and you're wasting money. Then you have to go to the next step, which is the next drug that the PBM decides on their own that you or I are entitled to get. That's absolutely wrong. They're making medical decisions that is appropriate for your doctor, our doctor, your physician, not some computer algorithm, not some person in a faceless bureaucracy that you have a difficult time appealing to. And then let me just give you an example of a real-life example that happened. So in our group, we've got a group of oncologists that work with us. And so they had a woman that was only going to live for 3 months. She had cancer. She was going to die. And the PBM made her buy 1 year's worth of drugs, even though they were told by the oncologist that she only had 3 months to live. They made her buy a year's worth. You know how much it cost? $112,000. She lasted 4 months, ladies and gentlemen. She wasted the rest of the money and wasted her life because PBMs are more interested in making money and doing what they want to do rather than what's in the best interest of you or me or your children or our family. It's wrong. It's patently wrong. They decide everything. That is wrong. They must be reined in. They're abusive. Thank you, committee members, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop. We have several cards that were turned in. These individuals have waived in support. Mary Heather Breeden, National Multiple Sclerosis Society, again, waiving in support. Etta Fernandez with AARP, waiving in support. Jeffrey Scott, Florida Medical Association, waiving in support. Tony Large, Florida Orthopedic Society, waives in support. Tony Large, Florida Society of Nephrology, waiving in support. Tony Large, Florida Society of Respiratory Care, waives in support. Tony Large, Orange County Medical Society, waives in support. Leah Barber Hines with Susan G. Komen, waives in support. And Stephen Wynn with the Florida Osteopathic Medical Association, also waiving in support. And that concludes our submitted appearance cards. Members, we're now in debate on the PCS. Members wishing to debate? Members wishing to debate. Vice Chair Caruso, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing the bill forward. I've had experience with step therapy protocols, and it's not pretty. It's frustrating. You have injury. In my case, it was injuries and medication for something else, but twice it happened. And eventually, we got to the point where we actually did what the doctor had prescribed us to do, and the problem got resolved. And so this puts medicine back in the hands of our doctors in the field who write our prescriptions for medications and treatments and takes it out of the hands of the PBMs and the insurance companies where it shouldn't be. And so I think the bill does all the right stuff. I would like to see, as one of the speakers mentioned, a definite time frame on when insurers or HMOs deny a protocol exemption request. I'd like to see a certain time frame on that, because we know that time is of the essence when you're sick or in pain. And if they take 3, 6, 8 months to come with a denial, I mean, we haven't gotten anywhere then. So I'll be up on the bill. Great bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Additional members in debate? Additional members wishing to debate? Okay, seeing none, Representative Wilhite, you are recognized to close on the PCS.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and just a couple of things, if you'd indulge me. First, I understand businesses have to profit. They have to work. I understand they have to work for everybody. And, you know, again, whether it's shareholders or the company or keeping the business going and keeping the doors open. But in the same respect, I spent a lifetime of trying to help people, trying to stop pain and suffering. And I believe that Floridians work hard for their money, and they want to know a process, and they want to have it laid out for them, and they want to know what they're getting for their money. And they certainly don't want to have that questioned when they ultimately go to their doctor where there is pain and suffering, and they're trying to get better, whether it's to get back to work, take care of their family, and do those things. So I believe this is a step forward, and again, it expands on last year's good work by this legislature. And finally, Mr. Chairman, I would really, really hope that you understand it and appreciate how great your staff is and how much they worked with me in working on this and helping with this bill and bringing it to where it is. So I really do appreciate truly you and your staff in hearing this bill. And with that, I ask you members for your favorable support. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Wilhite. Representative Wilhite, having closed on the PCS, Cheryl, please call the roll for 1001 and announce the vote.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Bousada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Taney?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hanchowski?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Morales?
Yes.
Persons Milica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Chair. We will show the PCS reported favorably.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and colleagues.
Thank you, sir. Next, we will have the PCS for House Bill 1155 by Chair Toledo, Pharmacies and Pharmacy Benefit Managers. Chair, good afternoon. You're recognized to present your PCS.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, members. Before I present my bill, I wanted to commend Chair Yarbrough and his committee staff for taking a look at pharmacy benefit managers and how Florida spends its dollars within the Medicaid Managed Care Program, and you've done a lot of work to help me get here. My staff and I have spent the last 2 years researching and listening to patients, pharmacies, doctors, and even PBMs to ensure patients have access to affordable health care and that Florida continues to foster a healthy environment for businesses and that doctors can make the best choices for their patients without third-party influence. For those of you who don't know, I got involved in this issue when I went to fill a prescription for my daughter. The doctor told me it was going to be $25. I went to chain pharmacy, and they told me it was going to be $480. After spending about an hour and a half there wanting to speak to the manager, whoever, to take it for $25, I asked who made the final call, and they said their PBM. At the time, I didn't know what a PBM was, and I started to look into them and why they're dictating so much in healthcare. Fast forward to a couple weeks ago, I'm at CVS again, and the pharmacist told me that my daughter's prescription wouldn't be available for 2 weeks. Of course, I was coming up here, so I was devastated, and I really needed this drug. And, you know, we have our prescription drug card that says we have, well, says CVS on it, so I thought I'd have to go to CVS. I shared my story and heard from Floridians across the state, and more and a lot had dire situations where they ended up going to the emergency room to receive their drugs because of policies instituted by PBMs. Sending Floridians to the hospital for their life-saving medicine risked their lives and increased the cost of healthcare for all of us. Fortunately, an independent pharmacist heard my story, was able to direct me to the most affordable and convenient option for my daughter, and it was resolved quickly. Independent pharmacists are the backbone of many communities. They know their patients' names, celebrate birthdays, and even know facts about patients that their doctors might not even be aware of. As you learned in the Millman Report conducted by the Agency for Healthcare Administration, Florida pays its PBMs over $117 million, while we reimburse the providers of pharmacy, the people who dispense the medicine, around half that at $58 million. That's over double for the middleman. House Bill 1155 is a step in the right direction to protect patients, medical decisions by doctors, and the free market we are so fortunate to have. The first part involves pharmacy audits. Currently, the Florida Pharmacy Act includes a section purporting to regulate pharmacy audits by insurers. However, because of the Pharmacy Act only regulates pharmacies and pharmacists, these provisions cannot be enforced. The bill transfers the audit provisions of the Pharmacy Act to the Florida Insurance Code. This gives the Office of Insurance Regulation, OIR, the authority to enforce these provisions and respond to potential violations. The bill expressly authorizes pharmacies to appeal insurer audit findings using the existing dispute resolution program at ACA. And for PBM registration, since 2019, PBMs have been required to register with OIR every 2 years as a condition of doing business in Florida. However, the OIR has no authority to penalize PBMs that do not comply with the registration requirements. So this bill will establish a $10,000 fine for any PBMs failing to register with OIR. Member states across the country are taking action to save their states money and ensure access to pharmacies remain intact. From Ohio to West Virginia, California to Texas, these states are banning anti-competitive practices and reducing abuses to the free market. The vertical integration of the market is worrisome, and although this bill does not address the consolidation of providers and companies and PBMs, I encourage you to look further. Florida has the findings, and we can do so much more, and I look forward to working with the members on this committee to have some meaningful PBM reform, and that is the bill.
Thank you, Chair Toledo, for explaining the bill. Members, we're now open for questions. Questions on the PCS? Members, any questions? Vice Chair Caruso, you recognize for question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. The bill calls for the establishment of a $10,000 fine for PBM failing to register with the Office of Insurance Regulation. These are huge companies, huge billion-dollar companies, a billion, multi-billion-dollar industry. $10,000 fine for failing to register with the OIR seems like the candy on the conference table. You know, question. Is there any opportunity to raise this amount to make it punitive?
You're recognized.
Thank you, and that is a great question. I would love to make it punitive, and I'd be willing to change that and make it $1 million, but I did not set that $10,000 fee.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional questions? Additional questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move into public testimony. We have no amendments for the PCS, so public testimony. We have several appearance cards that were submitted. First, Lieutenant Governor Jeffrey Kottkamp, Small Business Pharmacies Aligned for Reform. You're recognized, sir. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really want to thank you for hearing this bill, and I want to commend the members of this committee. When you discussed the Milliman Report a few weeks back, your insightful and intelligent questions were really remarkable. It was the most substantive conversation this legislature in history has ever had about pharmacy benefit managers. So I want to thank you for that, and certainly want to thank Representative Toledo for her leadership. She gets it. She understands there's a reason more than 40 states have passed legislation to reform PBMs, to prevent them from steering patients to pharmacies that they have a financial stake in, prevent them from spread pricing, as we saw in the Milliman Report, where they put about $100 million in their pocket they shouldn't, and prevent them from using transaction fees, not only to develop a revenue stream we never account for in the Medicaid program, but also to drive their competition out of business. Often what happens with a PBM, the underlying bill started on transaction fees, they'll use these transaction fees and clawbacks, and they know they're hitting these small pharmacies in the pocketbook, and they'll follow that up a week later with a letter or a personal visit asking if they want to sell their pharmacy. You know, and many of you brought up the question of antitrust in the last time we talked about this, and I think it was appropriate. To Vice Chair Caruso's question, I think one way you could change this is definitely up the amount of the fine, but make it for every instant, every violation of the act. So it's not just once. If they violate it 10 times, then it's 10 fines. So that might be a way to do it. Now, I know this has been amended from its original bill. To me, it's sort of like you go out and you get a vicious Doberman pincher to watch your property and keep your family safe, and then the teeth get yanked out and the vocal cords get cut. That's kind of what the bill is right now, but that's okay. That's the process. We're far from done. I would encourage you not only to vote for this bill, but join Representative Toledo in this fight. Co-sponsor this bill, make your voice be heard. There's strength in numbers, and it's time to reform PBMs in Florida. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Christopher Newland, Florida Chapter of the American College of Physicians. Mr. Newland, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and my comments are going to sound very familiar. Just as we were discussing before, PBMs can control costs, and they also, however, control access. And very often they control access to the types of drugs that people need and need quickly. As a result, it's essential that they be held accountable so that we can ensure that the patients who need these drugs get them at a fair price as quickly as possible. As Governor Kottkamp just said, we wish that the bill goes a little bit farther, but it is a start, and we ask your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Newland. Next, we have David Poole, the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. Good afternoon. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Good afternoon. I wished I could be as eloquent without notes as the governor, but I'm going to have to stick to my notes here. I'm David Poole, Director of Legislative Affairs for AHF Healthcare Centers and Pharmacies. We are a statewide, national, and global healthcare organization who cares for approximately 20,000 people living with HIV disease in Florida. And PBM's doing battle with PBMs for our organization and all, many of the other nonprofits that care for people with HIV is nothing new whatsoever. We want to thank Chair Toledo and Clayton Clemons for sponsoring such a solid PBM reform bill, and especially echo the comments that Chair Toledo made a while ago. In analyzing the changes to the original bill, we had to ask ourselves if some PBM reform is better than no PBM reforms, such as this is what we would like to have seen in the bill, which is going to sound familiar, as Chris said. We need reimbursement protections for 340B covered entities. We need access to patients by supporting any willing provider networks for prohibitions against mandatory mail order. We certainly support patient choice and prohibitions against steering, especially among the healthcare giants that also have been discussed by several people. That being said, we hope this iterative step towards PBM reform will pass and will continue in the form of additional needed reform. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Poole. Next, we have Kevin Duane. Mr. Duane. I'm sorry, Ranking Member Joseph. Did you have a question for Mr. Poole? Okay. Mr. Duane, if you could wait just a moment, I'm sorry. Ranking Member Joseph for Mr. Poole. Go ahead. You're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What are 340B entities?
You're recognized.
Yeah, I hesitated to even enter that into the language because the bill as written now really is not relevant to that, but 340B is a federal law. It was passed in 1992 under the Veterans Care Act, and there were implications with other language that's been introduced in other bills, but it's an incredibly good program, and quite frankly, it's the single biggest supporter of Florida's safety net, not just for HIV. It supports the Ryan White eligible entities. It supports Florida's safety net hospitals. It supports the federally qualified community health centers and many other covered entities that fall under that law.
One more question.
Follow up. Go ahead, Ranking Member.
You also made reference to the mandatory mail order or something. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah, I think all of the small pharmacies, retail pharmacies, AHF pharmacies, we all support mail order. We have a huge mail order operation. The thing that we don't support is mandated. And it's that mandated issue, and Barney actually referenced it too, where you get drugs that can, especially with HIV, where stigma, there's no cure for stigma. I think stigma may be as great today as it was 40 years ago when the epidemic was first identified. So mandatory mail order, you'll end up with an HIV prescription in a relative's mailbox or in possession of a relative that's not even aware of the status of the other relative. There are just all kinds of issues that are long and old. I've been up here for 7 years fighting for protections or prohibitions against mandatory mail order. Former Senator Rene Garcia carried the bill several years. And so, sorry I'm going off on a tangent here, but we'd love to see that prohibition included in some reforms in the future as well.
Good. Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr.
Yeah, thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Mr. Duane. Here with us today from Jacksonville. You're recognized.
Thank you. And my name is Dr. Kevin Duane. I'm a pharmacist and pharmacy owner in Jacksonville. And I come here today to discuss these issues from a perspective of a provider. PBMs have inserted themselves into the relationships that I have with my patients. And as a result, it's hindering my ability to provide a high quality level of care that my patients deserve. Thank you to Chair Toledo for sponsoring the bill and for taking up this issue, and to Chair Yarbrough and this committee for hearing it. I think that it's important to look at the overall healthcare landscape in this country and realize that when middlemen like PBMs get inserted into the equation, necessarily it leads to wasted money. Anytime there's a middleman, there will be waste. More than that, a bulk of the claims come from Medicare and Medicaid, which means that the dollars that are wasted end up being our tax dollars. I appreciate that a provider such as myself will now have recourse with OIR when the PBM doesn't hold up their end of the bargain with our contract. And that was important to me because before I would complain to my board of pharmacy, which is where the rules lie now, and they told me that they were helpless. So the fact that now I'll be able to go to an entity that can help with these issues is really good. I think now that I'm quite concerned about some of the things that were taken out of the bill, though, with this substitute was added. I'm concerned about the rise of vertical integration. My competitor is the largest purchaser of generic drugs. They're also one of the largest health insurers in the country. They also operate the largest number of retail pharmacies in the country. They offer the largest amount of mail order prescriptions being filled in the country. And so when the little guy like me has to get on this tilted stage, it really makes it difficult to compete. And I think that unfairly, some of us have been painted as a special interest group or otherwise just looking for a government handout. And I'm here to tell you right now that is not what I'm asking for. I'm simply asking for a fair and level playing field, because I believe that on a fair and level playing field, the people that come to my pharmacy, my neighbors, the people that I go to church with, the people that I and my parents have grew up with, they will choose me over a large national big box pharmacy because they appreciate and they really value the service that I am able to provide. So rather than paint us as a special interest group or hiding behind some kind of lobby or anything like that, I'm here to just say that with a fair and level playing field, with provisions that bills like these will provide us, I will be able to compete and I will be able to win. And so I thank you for this bill and I hope that you all will find it favorable.
Thank you, Dr. Duane. We have a question. Ranking Member Joseph, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You made reference to PBMs not holding their end of the bargain, and you commended the bill's ability or giving you the ability to address that with the OIR. Can you elaborate on that, please?
You're recognized.
So one thing that commonly happens in our practice is a process of audit finding. It's almost like a DUI checkpoint or something. You know, we fill 90,000 prescriptions per year, roughly. So even if we were accurate on all of our clerical things 99.999% of the time, you'll still find errors. So the ability to dig out and find those errors, can lead to very big financial hardships for us. When the patient got the medicine that they were prescribed, that the doctor wanted them to get, we gave them the right amount. It was simply a clerical error. Things as simple as writing, 329.21 instead of 329.2021, something like that. It's a clerical error that leads to a financial reimbursement hardship. So the rules as they're written right now say that the Board of Pharmacy is the one who can enforce certain provisions like that. They can't come into my store and rifle through my papers the first week of the month or something like that. But the Board of Pharmacy says, oh, we can't control insurance entities, so we don't really have any way to enforce these rules. And then what this bill will do is to move those into the OIR that will kind of give it more teeth and give me some recourse when things that are not supposed to be happening as per Florida statute end up happening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Roy. Next, we have Michael Jackson, Florida Pharmacy Association Executive VP and CEO. Mr. Jackson. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me to appear before you. I'm Michael Jackson, CEO of the Florida Pharmacy Association. I'm also a Florida and Alabama licensed pharmacist and have been involved in advocacy for the past quarter century, standing before you. And also I've been a practicing pharmacist and running and managing operating pharmacies in three states. So I rise in support of this legislation, but I also wish to share some tangible thoughts with you to help you think through this process of what a PBM is. For a number of years, I've appeared before committees such as this one to bring to your attention the challenges of that pharmacy businesses have experienced with the current PBM marketplace. Evidence has been provided to the legislature by our consultants during the 2020 legislative session that pointed out some very concerning issues that are happening. And through the results of the report that y'all just studied not too long ago from the Agency for Healthcare Administration, when they reached out to Milliman, they confirmed a number of the things that we saw that was happening in the marketplace. Describing how PBMs decimate viable pharmacy small businesses will just take too much time and is a complex conversation. Instead, I choose to share with you a description of what we see as a pharmacist every day and share with you something that someone who's not in our industry may be able to relate to. Think of a sports contest such as basketball, where one team is a PBM-owned affiliated pharmacy and the other team is a non-affiliated pharmacy. Our mutual goal here is to engage in a healthy and fair competitive marketplace designed to help improve the quality of health of our citizens. The current pharmacy market in Florida is far from healthy. The non-affiliated pharmacy is playing a basketball game on a court owned by the PBM-affiliated pharmacy that also happens to provide the referee. They own the court, and they make the rules of the game. The conditions of the contest are set such that the non-affiliated pharmacies is guaranteed financial instability if participating in the Medicaid program. The PBM-affiliated pharmacy is a beneficiary of the way this game is set up because the PBM sets the rules. Their affiliates will do well at the expense of their non-affiliated pharmacies, and that's why you see some generally savings in the Medicaid program, because you have winners and you have losers. The losers are going to be the non-affiliated pharmacies. There's no business that I know of in healthcare, in transportation, or any other business that I know of that provides services without knowing what they're going to be reimbursed. There are very few businesses that I'm aware of whose competitor parent companies assess fees for being in our network and charges fees for submitting claims. We do support House Bill 1155. We want to thank Representative Toledo for bringing this measure before you. We hope that the debate is saucy and interesting and educational. We ask for your support for PCS for 1155, and I thank you for giving this opportunity to share my thoughts with you.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Okay, next we'll have Barney Bishop. Mr. Bishop, again with Small Business Pharmacies Aligned for Reform, President and CEO. Mr. Bishop, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Barney Bishop. So you've heard some things from Governor Kottkamp. This committee, the subcommittee last month, did an outstanding job at looking at the Milliman report and going through all that technical detail and getting down to what is the real nitty-gritty. And so this bill, there was a question earlier about this bill, could it be stronger on the fines? Of course it could. But this bill was written not by the sponsor of the bill, but by somebody else. And therein lies the problem. $10,000, but Mr. Vice Chair Caruso, you're exactly right, it's like candy. It's like charging a liquor company $1 for violating the law about having underage children drinking. $1. It's nothing. It's not even a slap on the wrist. It's a joke. Should be, as Chair Toledo said, should be $1 million. Now, this is a $10,000 fine for not registering. What do you think the chances are that a $113 billion company isn't going to register? And $10,000, even if they didn't, that's the cost of doing business in 5 minutes. Not even a day, in 5 minutes. This bill used to be called the Transaction Fee Bill and Office of Insurance Regulation Bill, because it was 23 pages long. It's now five. Five pages. Everything of substance has been taken out. Everything that will actually do something has been taken out. This bill has been neutered so much, it doesn't even have a gender anymore. PBMs, to me, act like the Chinese Communist Party. Everything is in secret. Everything is secret. When the PBM negotiates with the drug manufacturer company and gives them a kickback, a legal kickback, it is legal, to put a drug on the preferred drug prescription list, the PDL, they charge them 30%. If you want to be the only drug on the PDL in a particular category, it's 40%. If the drug manufacturer was to tell you that, the PBMs will execute their contract. They won't be dead personally, but they'll be dead as a business. Then the PBM turns around and negotiates with the drug wholesaler in secret. If they divulge any information to you as an elected official, their contract can be executed. They're cut off. They're dead in business. And then the PBM negotiates with the retail pharmacy. And if they talk to you and tell you anything, even what was said today, that pharmacist could be executed, his business contract could be killed without appeal, without appeal. So let's talk about, in practical terms, what's some of the implications. And I'm going to use an example, frankly, that Senator Tom Wright did. And he said this last year, so it's still appropriate. He goes to Publix, he buys a dozen apples for $10. I'm sorry, $12. I'm gonna have to do equal math because I'm not good on math. So he buys a dozen apples for $12. 3 weeks later, Publix calls him up and says, wait a second, we sold you those apples at the wrong price. They're really $2 for every apple. Well, I already ate them. Well, next time you come into Publix, there'll be $12 debit on your account that you have to pay before you can buy anything else in the store. And that's the way PBMs run retail pharmacies. If they tell you that you can sell a drug today for X price, up to a year later, they can tell you, oh no, that price was wrong. It's now this price. You've already sold the drug. No business in the world is operated like this, ladies and gentlemen. Not a single business.
Mr. Bishop, if you could wrap up.
Yes, sir. On top of that, there's transaction fees. Now, I see that the lobbyist is here for the PBMs, and he's going to tell you that they do a great job, that they're wonderful, that they save you millions of dollars. But you know what? You don't know that. I don't know that. Why? Because everything is secret. They don't tell anybody. They don't even trust you. They don't tell the Florida state government or the legislature what they do and what the contract prices are. That is patently wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for hearing this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop.
Thank you, Chairman Toledo, for sponsoring it. Please vote for it, nevertheless, despite everything that I said, because at least it's a step in the right direction. But remember, everything is secret. That's wrong.
Thank you, Mr. Bishop.
Chairman, I have a question.
Mr. Bishop, don't go too far. Representative Beltran, you're recognized for a question of Mr. Bishop.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for your testimony. I just want to be clear if I understand what you're saying. You're saying that these PBMs have a clause in their contract with their counterparties that say if they divulge the terms of the contract to a government entity, that there's a, I guess that the PBM has the right to cancel the contract? Is that what you're saying?
You're recognized, Mr. Bishop.
It's the death penalty, yes, sir. They can cut them out without appeal. Done. Okay.
Please, may I have a follow-up, Chairman?
Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you, Chairman. Please send a copy of whatever the documentation you have. I'd like to review that personally.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Our next speaker is Connor Rose with Pharmaceutical Care Management Association. Mr. Rose, good afternoon. You're recognized.
Good afternoon, Chair Yarbrough, Vice Chair Caruso, Ranking Member Joseph. My name is Connor Rose. I'm with the Pharmaceutical Care Management Association. We're the national trade representing America's pharmacy benefit managers. Where do I start? I'd like to touch on a few things that were mentioned today. So we heard a lot about fees that PBMs charge. So, the claims processing fees that were referred to, those have existed for decades. Those are nominal per transaction fees that go to fund the IT infrastructure that are able to facilitate the seemingly instantaneous payment of claims. Again, those have existed for decades. They are contained in the contracts that are signed by pharmacies directly or on behalf of pharmacies by their PSAO. There are performance-based contract fees. So these fees hold pharmacies accountable for agreed upon value-based benchmarks, such as generic dispensing rate, opioid dispensing oversight, patient adherence rate, prescription refill rate. And these are important measurements that go to enhance quality and high quality care at the pharmacy counter. These are commonly used for all providers in the healthcare system. However, the original underlying bill, 1155, would have eliminated that. Secondly, I think another large portion of the so-called clawbacks that are happening is something called direct and indirect remuneration. And these are money that are reconciled after the fact, and it's a feature of Medicare Part D. Whether there need to be reforms or not, those reforms have to come from the federal government, not the state legislature. I'd also like to touch on the notion of steering. So in September 2018, the U.S. Department of Justice approved the merger of healthcare corporations that operate in the PBM and insurance marketplace. The antitrust division said that one merger is, and I quote, unlikely to result in harm to competition or consumers. And then in October 18, 2018, the antitrust division said that another merger would, quoting, allow for the creation of an integrated pharmacy and health benefits company that has the potential to generate benefits by improving the quality and lowering the cost of the healthcare services that Americans can obtain. And I want to say again, Representative Joseph, your question about mandatory mail order pharmacy, that is not something the PBM is forcing on to plan sponsors. That is something that is a decision made by the plan sponsor, again, with the whole goal of saving money. Mail service pharmacies will typically provide a 90-day fill of a maintenance medication, often at a lower price than a 30-day fill at a retail pharmacy. So this isn't some selfish act by PBM saying that employers or insurers have to do this. It's something that is demanded by our clients that hire us. And again, I'd like to point out there's no federal or state law requiring anybody to use a PBM, but they choose to do so. Again, and then in the Milliman report, I would like to note the dispensing, if the state had gone to a fee-for-service payment schedule, it would have cost the state an additional $98 million. So there on its face, PBMs in the managed care space are able to negotiate the dispensing fees down and save the state $98 million. I know there was a lot of conversation about reforms that could be made, saving the state $150, $170 million, but I don't know. There's a memo from AHCA here saying that all of that is false. And then I know there were concerns also about the consolidation in the market. Yes, it is true that there are three large PBMs that have about 75% of the market share, but there are also three wholesalers, McKesson, Cardinal, and AmerisourceBergen, who control 95% of the drug wholesale market. Those three wholesalers also own PSAOs, Pharmacy Services Administrative Organizations. Those contract on behalf of independent pharmacies with PBMs. So equally, if there could be issues with the contract with the PBM, it might be an issue with the PSAO not effectively communicating what's in the contract to their independent pharmacy. Additionally, hospitals have embedded pharmacies, so the consolidation that you're seeing in the PBM marketplace is not unique to our industry alone. Going back to the bill here, while we did oppose the provisions in the underlying bill, we are neutral on the PCS. Keep it brief for you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Representative Beltran, you recognize for a question.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for reaching out to my office the other week to provide information about the industry. I'm just going to ask you the same question I asked Mr. Bishop, because that remark did attract my interest, which is, are you familiar with these contract provisions? I guess you call them confidentiality provisions, and do they have language that specifically would prohibit the counterparties to the PBMs from... that would prevent them from disclosing to a court or to government agency or to a legislature the contracts.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a representative of the trade industry, I am not allowed to see or be privy to anything in contracts. I know there are complaints of gag orders in contracts where pharmacists couldn't tell patients of a lower cost option or something like that. That was never an industry practice. I know that the negotiations we have with drug manufacturers and with pharmacies, they do contain proprietary information. If that does get released in one way or another, it can harm, a PBM's leverage in negotiating those discounts. But I have never personally seen a provision outlining what may or may cancel a contract.
Go ahead, Representative Bill.
Thank you, Chairman. I guess my same question would be my same follow-up to Mr. Bishop, which is, if you or one of your members, I don't need to see the whole contract. If you have a sample so-called gag provision, I just want to see what it says and if it's targeting the legislature or courts or something like that in particular as opposed to competitive interest. Would you be able to either provide that or see if you can procure that?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I will see if I can follow up with you.
Thank you.
Try to track something down.
Thank you. Vice Chair Caruso, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, sir, for coming before us. Knowing that the top PBM receives or directs 50% of the total prescriptions to its own related pharmacies, and the next four pharmacies receive only 25%. So you've got one entity that's directing twice as much to their own entities and half as much to the next four. Do you see there's a problem in this directing or steering? Do you see that there's a problem in the industry that does need to be resolved?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Vice Chair Caruso, I would respectfully disagree. So what steering really gets at is the use of preferred networks. So we're able to negotiate discounts with pharmacies. And steering is really just trying to incent patients to use the lowest cost pharmacy for their plan sponsor. I think what you're referring to was in the Milliman report. And I remember Ms. Kidder said that there is no steering occurring in the Medicaid program. So I would assume that that means it could be one, just consumer choice, or two, it also could have to do with specialty pharmacies. These drugs are complex and they have specified or special handling and distribution needs. So your typical brick and mortar pharmacy is likely not able to handle those types of drugs, which would push patients towards those specialty pharmacies.
Go ahead, Vice Chair.
Thank you. So you're saying that if CVS has 25,000 pharmacies out there and Walgreens have 25,000 pharmacies out there, CVS pharmacies are receiving four times the amount of prescriptions as a Walgreens because of consumer choice?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Potentially, sir, I don't know the ins and outs of specifically of the Florida Medicaid program and the pharmacy networks and how that may work. I do remember Ms. Kidder saying that patients in Medicaid are free to choose any pharmacy they would like.
So you don't know?
I do not know.
Okay.
Additional questions? Yes, sir. Okay, thank you, Mr. Rose.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you making the trip from Washington to be here with us today. Thank you. Next, we have three remaining cards by those wishing to waive in support. Claudia DeVant, Florida Pharmacy Association. Lauren Rittenauer, Epic Pharmacies, Inc., care of Multistate Associates, also waiving in support. And then Stephen Wynn with Florida Osteopathic Medical Association, waiving in support. And that concludes our appearance cards that were submitted. Members, we are now in debate on the PCS. Members wishing to debate. Vice Chair Caruso, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill forward. I'm very disappointed in the bill, though. I will be up on it. Again, as I mentioned, the $10,000 fine is a joke, and the bill fails to deal with, you know, issues that we still have out there with the PBMs, such as conflicts of interest and steering and additional creative transaction fees, chargebacks, paying PBM-related stores 57% more for the same medication over what they pay independent stores. There's just so many issues out there that it fails to address, and I'd love to see those things addressed. I was hoping they'd be in this bill. I'm going to be up on it because at least we're doing something, which is better than nothing, but we've got a long way to go. I hope you come back next year and hit it again. Thank you.
Additional members in debate. Ranking Member Joseph, you're recognized in debate.
I want to thank you for bringing forward the bill. I understand some of the frustrations of my colleagues and many. Right, to make sure that our healthcare is affordable. And there are lots of additional improvements that can be made, but in this process, sometimes something is better than nothing, and I would encourage Vice Chair to have some conversations with Chair Toledo about getting it to the point that we would prefer it to be. We've heard a lot of the issues with PBMs, and I think everybody on the committee is painfully aware of some of those issues. Now the question is, what do we do about it? This is a start. So with that in mind, I encourage everybody to vote up on a start, and then we continue to work from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Additional members in debate? Seeing none. Thank you, Chair Toledo. You are recognized to close on your PCS.
Thank you. Thank you, members. And I know many of you reached out to me and told me we definitely need PBM reform. We needed it yesterday. If not, we risk losing many independent pharmacies, which provide access to so many in our community. And without that access, we also increase costs, because we can create a monopoly with these chain pharmacies. And you know that will definitely increase the cost of drugs. We all know that health care costs continue to rise, and I believe it's a direct correlation to PBM profits. If we want to lower costs, we need to have PBM reform, and we need to start today. So I thank you, Chair Yarbrough, for hearing this bill, and I ask for your favorable support.
Thank you. Chair Toledo, having closed on the PCS, Cheryl, please call the roll on the PCS for House Bill 1155 and announce the vote.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana? Lucetta Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Wanchowski?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Morales?
Yes.
Persons Maluka?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
By your action, we will show the PCS reported favorably. Thank you, Chair Toledo.
Thank you.
Thank you. Members, that concludes our business for today with our agenda items. So seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Mooney moves that we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.